You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In today's Old Testament reading, we find the Lord speaking through Ezekiel, and he's speaking to people who are the kind of people who complain, who live in sin, and in some cases have flat out rejected the Lord as their Lord. Again, the Bible says, going to Ezekiel chapter 18, picking up in verse 1, "The word of the Lord came to me." In other words, to Ezekiel. So he's going to say the words, but the Lord is going to be speaking through him to these rebellious people. What do you mean by repeating this proverb concerning the land of Israel? The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, declares the Lord God, this proverb shall no more be used by you in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father, as well as the soul of the Son, is mine. The soul who sins shall die. You might have noticed earlier when I read the reading how we come to the words die and live a number of times in the reading. Keep in mind, we're always talking about the ultimate reality of dying and living. So dying would be eternal separation from God, and living means to be with God forever in a most wonderful situation. So not like living and dying physically, but living and dying in an ultimate way. Coming to the proverb, when the people quoted it, what were they doing? They were accusing the Lord of being unfair. They were saying, "Lord, wait a minute. It's our fathers who sinned, and yet we are being punished for the things that they did." That's what the people were saying to the Lord. Then the Lord made it clear, and he said, "Oh no, the soul who sins shall die." Dr. Kretzmann wrote, "True repentance puts aside all excuses and humbly says with the publican, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.'" That publican took personal responsibility. What about sin and suffering? Sometimes we can get the idea that adversity is the fruit of sin, while prosperity is the result of righteousness. In other words, if we do bad, we should expect to suffer. If we do good, we should expect good things in our lives. Is that true sometimes? It is. But is the opposite also true? Think about Job, declared to be a righteous man, and think about the greatness of his adversity. Not throughout his entire life, but for a time. So we can't always make those connections. What I want to do now is catch these verses that we have in between the first part of the reading, the first part of chapter 18, and the last part of the chapter. This section is all left out, but I want to go through here and summarize what's being said. It will help make the point of the entire sermon. So in verses 5 through 9, we could summarize in this way: if a man is righteous by faith, and from that faith does what is just and right, he shall surely live. Verses 10 through 13. If he, that is, this righteous man that I just spoke of, if he fathers a son who is unrighteous, thus faithless, and does not do what is just and right, he shall surely die. So we have the righteous father, he lives. We have the unrighteous son, he dies. Now we go on to the grandson. Now suppose this man, the unrighteous son, fathers a son who sees all the sins that his father had done, but he, by faith, is righteous and does not do likewise as his father did, committing all these sins without repentance, he shall surely live. So it's helping us understand that whatever happened with the Father does not carry over to the Son. And then in 18 through 20, we see that each person is responsible. The soul who sins shall die. The Son shall not suffer for the iniquity of the Father, nor the Father suffer for the iniquity of the Son. Very clear. But then we come to that other passage that we find in the small catechism from Exodus chapter 20, and the Lord said, I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. What's that about? It sure sounds like the children are being punished because the fathers sinned. What that means is if you have an unbelieving father and mother, most likely the children will be unbelievers. So there's this unbelieving influence within the family, and it tends to pass on generation after generation. Those children ultimately are not being punished because their father sinned, but sadly, though, because of the unbelieving influence, they end up being unbelievers too. But is that always the case? Thankfully, it's not. So sometimes people can grow up in great unbelief, and yet God gets a hold of them, God makes them his holy children, and though the parents go to hell, the children go to heaven. So we have that happen too. That's what that passage is getting at. What about verses 21 and 22? There is good news here. There is forgiveness for the wicked. Notice what it says. But if a wicked person, that would be a faithless person, is made righteous by faith, in other words, by grace, if such a person returns to the true God whom he has abandoned and turns away from all his sins that he has committed, he shall surely live. In the Lutheran Study Bible, it has a nice little quote that sets this out. It says, talking about this kind of a person, his new relation with God leads to a change in behavior. So first of all, God grabs a hold of the person, makes him his very own, and then that shows in the person's life. This is a wicked person we're talking about who deserved hell, and yet God makes him his holy child, and then again, that is seen in his life. And then finally, in verses 23 and 24, this final section I did not read, it talks about judgment for those who turn away from the Lord. But when a righteous person turns away from his righteousness, that means turns away from Christ, because in baptism, we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. So when such a person turns away from Christ and does injustice, he shall die. Another instructive quote here, it says, a person will be judged by his status before God at the moment of judgment. So you might have a person earlier in life who is in Christ, but later on the person is not in Christ, and the person dies without Christ. Being in Christ back here means nothing. What matters is at the moment of judgment. That's why Jesus said it's so important to continue in him all the way to the end, all the way to the moment of judgment, we could say. And then going back to our text here, picking up in verse 25, the Lord is continuing to speak now through Ezekiel to these people, and he says to them, yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just. Hear now, O house of Israel, is my way not just? Is it not your ways that are not just? When a righteous person turns away from his righteousness and does injustice, he shall die for it. For the injustice that he has done, he shall die. God wants us to know that if we turn away from God's mercy in Christ, unfortunately, as some are doing, where does that leave God? He is a just God, and he must eternally punish us. God has no choice. Only in Christ is there mercy, So if we turn away from Christ, we end up putting ourselves in the place of God's judgment. Notice, so in 27, there is good news. Again, when a wicked person turns away from the wickedness he has committed and does what is just and right, he shall save his life. Because he considered and turned away from all the transgressions that he had committed, he shall surely live. He shall not die. So his turning, let's always understand this, his turning is always by God's grace, is always by God's power. He didn't say, I'm going to do it, and he made it happen. Anyone who turns, it's always by God's grace and God's power. And what is the turning about? The turning is turning away from sin and unbelief to turning to God's gift of forgiveness in Jesus Christ. So very opposite things. And then coming to the final part here, going to verse 29, it says, yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not just. O house of Israel, are my ways not just? Is it not your ways that are not just? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, declares the Lord God. Many in today's world want to say, God is love. They're quoting the last part of 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. Everyone likes that. God is love. But in Exodus chapter 34, it says, the Lord will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. So we have two sides of God. God does love everyone. So he sent his son. He wants to save everyone. But again, those who reject his mercy in Christ, they fall over here to God's judgment. What is the answer? We find it at the end of our text. Repent and turn from your transgressions, lest iniquity be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions that you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord God, so turn and live. When it says, make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit, it sounds like God is telling people to do something as if they had the ability. But let's understand, though, God made us to be his very own. God wants everyone to repent, but he is the one that does that work, though. So God does that work by giving us a new heart and a new spirit through holy baptism. And then he forgives us week by week through the holy absolution. And then he nourishes us through his holy word. And then he assures us that we are forgiven through the holy sacrament. Those are all things that are precious and important to God's holy people. If we really sat back and thought about who God is, holy in every way, and we thought about who we are and what we have thought, what we have said, what we have done against the Almighty God, we would realize that we deserve the worst. But then God turns us to the cross. We see Jesus Christ. We know what he did. And we rejoice that in him we have the very best. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we acknowledge and give you much thanks for showing us our sins, making us sorry, and giving your Son as our all-sufficient sacrifice. In his name we pray. Amen. Questions? Needs? Contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule. Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.